am. I ain't the one that done it. You got the wrong damn man. It's costing me a fortune paying for your sins. I can't believe you're pregnant again. I know you've been with Ronnie, 'cause he said you was hot, and you run around with Junior, and Junior brags a lot. Yeah, you're trying to get your claws in me. You'll do whatever it takes. Now you're wanting big cash monies from me to pay for your mistakes. I can't believe you're pregnant again. I ain't the one that's done it. You got the wrong damn man. It's costing me a fortune paying for your sins. I can't believe you're pregnant again.
It's funny, you're listening to Speaking of Strange here on News Radio 570 WWNC. The final episode of Speaking of Strange. We're giving it our, we're trying. And Forrest Connor is in the studio with us this evening. Myself, Sam Steele, Sam the Animal Steele, Shelley the Animal Wright, and Forrest Buttercup Connor.
Right.
And we were talking before or somewhere during a break about something about train tracks and babies falling out. And then all of a sudden, just now, Unknown Henson singing Pregnant Again. And, you know, so we were going back through some of the annals of Speaking of Strange history that have somehow survived. A lot of stuff just got missing over the years or deleted. You know, some of it's in unmarked tapes in Joshua P. Warren's storage shed, along with God knows what else.
His bunker underneath Mount Mitchell somewhere.
Does he have that still? Is that where he keeps the GIMP these days?
It is.
Yes. So I did find, this is from the archives, so to speak. A couple of clips. Now, you guys were always up on the Unknown Henson. And for those listening who are not familiar, Shelley, since you have not talked a lot, Unknown Henson, describe him. Go.
Looks like a vampire. A vampire troubadour. I got to see him play once. He was amazing. Got my picture made. I was a total fan.
Got
total groupie.
You sound like you're like in the Civil War. You're like, had my picture made. there was like a guy with a gunpowder flash. He stole my soul out of my eyeballs. He is a sort of a vampire
troubadour,
Elvis,
yeah.
Elvisy, yeah. Kind of undead, amazing guitar player. I mean,
the last of the country western troubadours.
The last of the country western troubadours. And he plays a character. What's his name in real life?
Stuart Baker.
Is it really?
Yes.
He has his own signature series guitar on Reverend Guitars, with bat inlays on the
nice.
Neck. That's very cool. But the guy is like a top-notch, like heavy hitter guitar player too, like rockabilly style. So that's who Unknown Henson is. He plays this character, and he looks like an undead Elvis. Here is some Speaking of Strange from the past of Joshua P. Warren talking to the man, the myth, the legend, Unknown Henson.
Tell us your thoughts on alcohol.
I love it. Alcohol is a good thing. It'll calm you down, help you look, you know, stand back, just take a look at the world, relaxed, where you can actually weigh the situation, stay calm, and make a logical decision as to what your move is going to be. But now some people use party liquor for the wrong things. Yeah, yeah. they can get in trouble with it. I use it also for medicinal reasons. I mean, I have a slight dental affliction. I don't know if you've noted it or not, but if you see pictures of me, you see that my dental situation is a little different. And my gums do bleed and get infected from time to time. So when I take a big old shot of party liquor, swill it around, you know, it's a damn good antiseptic. I swear it is. Party liquor is a damn good antiseptic.
All right.
But you got to use your head. You got to use your head when you drink party liquor, all right? Think about it.
Party liquor.
So if we take nothing else home with us tonight on this final episode, after we don't even know, we tried to do the math, but none of us are terribly good. You'd think Shelly would be better, being that she's worked at a coin shop for a better part of her adult years in some way, shape, or form, that she'd know how to add. But we don't know how long the show's been on. That in itself is a mystery.
True. And you know, Sam, speaking of the old shows, you know, one of my favorite segments, I'm going to jump into this a little early here.
Was
our Dark 30 Hour, where we had the strange and just interesting stories from just all over. And
the heights of a man's
from the
to the pits of his depravity, the heights of his it was a lot of stories.
We'll pull it
from 11 to 12 in what's called in the radio parlance safe harbor.
Right.
Safe harbor being after 11, you can get away with a little bit more.
A little bit more.
Yeah, we're not pushing, like, we're not going X-rated here.
No.
This is like, it's a hard PG-13.
Yeah.
Hard PG-13, not quite an R. But as they would like to say, you know, if you have tender ears, you know.
Turn it off.
I say, what tender-eared kids are listening to AM radio at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night?
Exactly. But, you know, one story I just found is, Sam, when you go over to Canton, North Carolina, what's the first thing you notice over there?
Well, being that I've lived here for 30 years, I know what you are looking for. You're looking for me to say the smell, but that has been toned down quite a bit in the recent years.
Well, I've not been over there in a few years.
In the early 90s, you know, like you could, on Sundays especially, like after church, like you could smell it all the way in Arden, but now it's not.
Do you think you would be sued for saying Canton stinks?
I don't think the good folks of Canton, North Carolina would be too happy about I would like not to think that.
But
I would be,
you know,
sued.
An Iowa man has won a lawsuit over calling his hometown stinky. An Iowa man threatened by city officials with legal action said on a website that his hometown smelled like, and I quote, rancid dog food. Which I wouldn't go for. I wouldn't call Canton.
I would not say that at all. But
anyway, he called his hometown. He said it smelled like rancid dog food on his website. He won the free speech lawsuit when a federal judge prohibited the city from further threats and awarded him damages. Now, Josh Harms was the guy's name. He was represented by the ACLU of Iowa and filed a suit in U.S. District Court early this month asking the judge to block SIBLEY officials from suing him. So city officials said they'd sue him if he didn't stop criticizing the town's odor from the Iowa drying and processing plant, which makes high-protein dog food and supplements from pig's blood. So that's, I mean, I don't think, Canton officials know that their town doesn't smell the best, but I don't think they'll go as far as...
Their town doesn't smell bad at all. You're making Canton out to be a whore.
No. I mean, I just remember
back
in the day, and like I said, you know, I've not been there in a few years because I'm on the other side of the state right now.
Yeah, I know.
Living.
It's pretty okay.
But you know, when the wind blows right and they say you can smell Canton, people say, you know what that smell is? That's the smell of money.
That is the smell of money. And we just like to say thank you, Canton. We do.
Yes.
We do love you there.
The city agreed to pay him $6,500 in damages and $20,000 in legal fees.
For
him saying that the town smelled like rancid dog food.
I mean, that's not even like a good put down. Rancid dog food. I had another unknown pulled up here. I think this one, if you know about the unknown, he was fond of talking about his Wormans.
Wormans?
His Wormans. I believe this was Joshua P. Warren and Unknown Henson talking about the Wormans.
Tell us your thoughts on women and picking up women.
I love Wormans. Yeah, they make the world go round for me. I mean, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for a woman. I don't think nobody would. And a woman needs a man. Yeah, yeah. She can't make no more babies than human beings without no man. So I'm thankful to have a woman for a mama who liked mans enough to have me.
Do you have a lot of female fans?
Hundreds. I got hundreds of woman fans. They write me all the time. I don't take no email no mess like that. I don't get on the interstate and fool with computer mess. I like to receive letters, you know, hand wrote, and pencil or ink. I don't get no email. I wouldn't know how to get no email. So, yeah, I like to get fan letters, you know, wrote on real paper that the women themselves wrote with their own hands.
And what's the craziest thing a female fan has done to get your attention at a show?
Crazy? That's a wide, very general word to use or term, I think. Most women, when they see me, they in crazy mode anyhow. When they see me and hear my chart-topping singing and my voice, you know, my guitar playing and my movie star good looks, they see me, they go wild anyway, so pretty much everything they do is crazy as hell. Nothing surprised me no more. Think about it.
That's the Unknown Henson, and one from the vault, from the Speaking of Strange vault. A lot of stuff, mysteriously, strangely, to speak of, has disappeared. Could it be the ghost, a spirit, or could it be the evil engineers deleting things for room on the hard drive?
I would go with engineers.
I would probably, yeah.
Why would you?
I would probably say, yeah, it's probably that.
Thanks, Mitch.
Unfortunately, nothing is exciting as, yeah, as that. But what you're listening to right now is Speaking of Strange. And we really wanted to have to surprise Joshua P. Warren and get him on the phone. We're still having phone difficulties. Vance Pollock, one-time host of this very show, was supposed to join us on the phone. We're trying to get him on the phone, too. And it's kind of a bummer because both of those guys, especially Joshua P. Warren, should be representing.
He should.
I agree.
But what do you do? I'm not going to call engineering at this hour. They would be very upset.
No, but that's what they get paid for.
Kind of, sort of. But that's neither here nor there. We are here right now, and we are going to do what we can to represent Speaking of Strange, which has been on the radio, honestly, an unprecedented amount of years. 49 years.
49 and a half.
Scotty Roadarmer was in diapers when this show started. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual, here on News Radio 570 WWNC. We'll be right back.
And when you slam down the hammer, can you see it in your heart? Said that they were completely unfounded. So when you slam down the hammer, can you see it in your heart? Can you delve so deep? my fingers. Can you see it in your heart? When you try to break my spirit, it won't work, because there's nothing left to break anymore. All of the rumors keeping me grounded. I never said that they were complete.
You won't sleep. You won't sleep tonight. The earth that wants me. Speaking of strange, on News Radio 570 WWNC, Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of strange, it's like the circus or something. Like Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of strange, I'm Sam the Animal Steel, joined tonight by Forrest Connor and Shelley Wright on this very. Sad in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like it's hard to get the groove going because it's kind of sad, but it's bittersweet in a way. It's like when the family pet gets old, and you know, I'm not comparing the show to my elderly dog that passed, but you know, it's like if you've ever had an animal leave you, you know, is it better for that animal to get run over in front of you or just to wander off in the woods? That's what they told me happened to Barkley anyway. They said that she went off into the woods and just never came back. So, yeah, this is the final episode, the end of an era. What will they put on Saturday nights from 9 until midnight? Well, do you know? Do you know something I don't?
Tune in.
I'm going to be tuning in. I don't know.
I'm thinking reruns of Coast to Coast.
I was trying to lobby for the Sam Steele show.
Yeah.
What would you talk about on your show?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Apparently, I've been told that what I find interesting, most people don't.
Oh, I don't believe that at all.
I mean, I would probably talk about toys, records, thrift shopping.
So basically,
80s sitcoms.
80s sitcoms all day.
So basically, none of the stuff that we get to talk about off mic when we're in a break that is so fun and interesting and politically incorrect.
We always said that we should have like a pay service or something on at joshuapwarren.com or speakingofstrange.com where like you could pay like $1 a month or something just to hear the conversations that went on off the air, like when the mics were theoretically not turned on. As I wish we had that audio. I wouldn't be able to play that. But, boy, we've had a couple of mishaps over the years. Probably the stuff that we don't talk about. Not that I don't find, the strange stuff interesting. But, without a curator of strange, we need a curator of strange.
We do.
And we you know, like... Because it's hard to work, like I work like 3 jobs, you know?
I think we all work like 3 or 4 jobs.
I mean, if you count Forrest Corner that he locks down over there in Wilmington, you know, from the hours of midnight to 6 a.m., you know, yeah. Man hooking, that's right 4 jobs.
Well, right there on the corner of Market and Independence there in Wilmington.
Right. Is that where I need to go next time I'm in town?
You know that, Sam.
I don't know that street.
Well, you should know that.
I did stop, however, one time. We were driving and it was like we were so tired, me and my buddy. We'd got fired from here, and we were trying to find
another.
Which
time?
I don't remember which time. It was 08, 09. We were looking for another job in radio, and we were just like, man, look, we can stay in, like, the beach, Atlantic Beach tomorrow, like in a nicer hotel, but tonight we really got to skimp and save money. So we stopped at a Motel 6 or something on the outskirts of town, and we realized that when we checked in there that this might not be the most savory motel. No pizza places would deliver there. And we saw a pimp back smacking his hoe in the parking lot directly in front of us. And there was 2, you know, relatively big guys in me and my buddy. And he didn't care at all. He looked at us like, what?
Nothing, sir.
We're just trying to get into the room there, bud. It was like craziness going on. We did not leave the room. It was like I needed to get my bag out of the car. It was not a savory. It
wasn't going to happen.
Not brushing my teeth.
But not brushing my teeth.
Sorry.
What is Shelly talking about? So check this out. Since this is speaking of strange, here's a strange story. And maybe it doesn't affect me and Forrest as much. Maybe we don't have the innate knowledge that a woman might have on this. Hand Shelly the bell, Forrest. This might be the last time you ever get to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
From Pensacola,
Florida.
A Pensacola woman gave new meaning to the term food baby over the past weekend. You know, we have plenty of good restaurants here in Asheville. Have you ever, you know, gone out and you ate so much that you have the food baby? You know, it feels like you're pregnant is supposedly what the food baby is. Maybe you have like a distended stomach now. You're grotesquely deformed because you had too much at the Ryan's Buffet. I don't even know if we still have a Ryan's Buffet. Well, anyway, Crystal Gail Amerson, 29 years old. She woke up around 4 a.m. on Sunday. She had stomach pains, and, you know, she was doing the run. She's back and forth from her room to the bathroom again, and she chalked it up to Saturday night. She had eaten at the Asian buffet. We've all been there, where you're hauling down Hendersonville Road, and you've just left. You're like, I'm not going to make it. You get out of the car, you're doing the penguin walk. You know, they charge extra for the sushi on takeout now.
Really?
Yeah. You're doing the penguin walk. You're like, I'm not going to make it. Well, that's what she thought it was. She's like, it was Chinese food the night before. I kind of figured I had food poisoning. Turns out it was nothing wrong with her General Chow's chicken. Or so, if you're so inclined. Get it? Anyway, unbeknownst to her, she was actually, 37 weeks pregnant.
What?
37 weeks pregnant. Yeah, now here's the thing. It's not like she, you know, was, you know, 15, 16, never had a, she's 29 and had a child.
So she's been through this before.
You would think that, you know, she would recognize some of these symptoms like, oh, morning sickness or, you know, I'm bloated or retaining water or whatever the symptoms are. Apparently, though, she was kind of, you know, she never had those type of symptoms. She didn't have the morning sickness. She didn't notice much weight gain. So she's like, and I never gained that shape because she wears scrubs to work. She works at a retirement home. So it was kind of boxy, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, she sees herself in the mirror. I don't know I know parts of my body pretty intimately. But, I mean, I would think that you would know if you were that far along. 37 weeks? That's like, what's a full term?
Yeah.
What's a full term?
I don't know. I've never had a baby.
9 months, 36, 37. No, so it must have been, what did I say it was? 37 weeks. That's almost a full term.
Yeah. That's.
Well, apparently, Oliver James was born at 6:59 a.m. Sunday in Pensacola, Florida. So he's healthy. He's alive. He's not just the remnants of some General's chicken.
He's not just a food baby.
Yeah, but my goodness, man. You know, like. It just seems odd. Just seems odd to me is all.
Well, Sam, piggybacking on that, the Wisconsin Police Department has made it a bit of an unusual request to the public after the women's bathroom has been repeatedly clogged up over the past year and a half. Have you seen this one?
Did you say year and a half?
Year and a half.
I think I heard about this. Yeah. It's like the Phantom Pooper or something.
The Facebook post from the Sheboygan Police Department, in conjunction with the Department of Public Works, stated a simple request. Please do not place trash or other rubbish in our public toilet. Recognizing the audited statement, someone has been clogging the women's toilet at the D-Land Community Center with 20-ounce soda bottles instead of flushing. The person is actually inserting the bottle into the toilet pipes.
Right. So the kicker here is like, it's not like they just threw, you know, a bottle and flushed it. They actually stuck their hand physically down into the tube and jammed this thing. And I believe the story has a statistic there of how many incidences they've had in the last 3 years toward the end of the story.
Actually, I'm not seeing that on this
article. Well, Forrest, dang it. Well, what it was. It might have been 2016 it was like 14 or 15 incidences. 2017 was like 16 or 17. And already this year, just a few months in, three or four already this year. And, you know, that this is causing the whole thing to be shut down. So people in the courthouse can't use the bathroom. It's causing, you know, like a lot of money to be spent to fix it. And, yeah. I remember as a kid, at a friend.
14 times.
That's 1 year for us. There's three statistics there.
14 times in 2016. That was three times so far in 2018.
I got that part right. My friend had a sign that said, "Don't pee in our pool and we won't swim in your toilet." Get it? It was at their swimming pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had a lot of kids peeing in their pool, Shelly.
I know.
Shelly was a pool peer.
I bet she was. She probably had the red stains that would occur.
It's like a dye pack.
Yeah.
Whenever she would get in the pool, it was like she stole a wad of bills from the bank. Shelly was a pool peer.
I was not. Yeah,
whatever.
A pool peer.
You're listening to Speaking is Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. We'll be right back.
Now greetings to the world vice of the one called Big Gangster alongside the House of Pain.
The 25-year remix.
No way!
25 years of jumping around. Jump up and get down. 25 years. You're listening to Speaking Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. Hate to inform you, but I'm going to have to do it. I'm the bearer of bad news, I suppose. It's the final episode. So to all of you who have stuck with us over the years through personnel changes, through the ups and the downs, I feel like I should be playing some Boys to Men behind me right now. Some It's So Hard.
End of the Road.
Oh, End of the Road? That'd be a good one. I was thinking, you know.
It's So Hard to Say Goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But thank you all for, you know, listening for all these years, even through the Forrest Connor years, which were, let's just be honest, they were painful. And
thanks, Sam.
It's turned into the Speaking of Strange roast. I think we should roast Joshua P. Warren since we can't get the phones to work.
Oh, man.
And he can't rebut.
Come on, nice producer
duster.
Sam. At least,
nice
I, knew,
duster,
at least
Josh.
I knew how to use the phones.
This is my studio. I work down the hall. I'm a Rock 105.1 fella. I just ended up here by accident. It's like literally like, you remember that guy that used to DJ on Kiss Country, the janitor?
Yes.
And he had he was like one of my favorite guys ever. He had a backstory that he was the nighttime janitor at the station, and like the radio host left, and he just happened upon, he was like vacuuming out, and he found these headphones, and he just started playing. So that was his whole shtick, was he was the janitor, and all his like sound effects were like toilets flushing and mop buckets and stuff. So sort of like I was that, like I just worked down the hall, and they needed somebody to work one day. I'm like, oh, I'm.
You and me both were that for years.
Let me just tell you. Let me tell you. This is a Forrest Connor story here, and I'm Sam Steele, joined by Forrest Connor, the original, the OG, prod of SOS, and Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. She of the few words.
Well, tonight I'm just overcome with emotion.
You're overcome with I don't know. You talk like you won't shut up when the mics are off. But you turn the mics on.
You crack the mic.
You clam up like a rookie up in here. Like, I'm afraid of the microphone. Let me tell you a Forrest Connor story.
Right.
So I started here, I think in 99 or something like that. It was like right before the year because I remember the Y2K bug giveaway.
Right.
And that was back when news or 880 was WTZY.
AM 880.
And so it was my first day pretty much. And Forrest was my training officer, so to speak. And he was like, supposed to show me the ropes. This is a quick synopsis. and I believe the show was Sports Talk Saturday. I believe the hosts were John Lee and Pat Ryan. John Lee, now multiple Emmy Award winner.
Really?
Yes.
Good for him.
I know. I saw him just recently. And it was good to see John. And John Lee and Pat Ryan, they were the hosts of Sports Talk Saturday. Still one of my favorite shows I've ever done. But my first day, here's Forrest. I'm green. It's my first time. Like, I'm like scared as all get out. Okay, Sam, this is the board. Here's your mic. Here's your mics. That'll make them talk and go out over the air. I'll see you later.
Good luck with that. I've got to do something over in the
studio. And he just left. And I'm like watching the clock countdown. It's like the top of the hour news. And I'm like,
holler if you need me.
No, you weren't even in the building. You took off. Like, and I that was my trial by fire. I got thrown into the deep end. And were there mistakes made? I'm sure there were. But that was Forrest's training procedure. And then I remember.
That was the Eddie Seeger days, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. And I also remember that a lot of times you would be there very early in the morning with your shoes off, which was never pleasant. It was the rock studio. It was a small studio. And boy, I tell you, it was like vacation with Rusty and his feet. You know, Russ. Yeah, it was like that. But you'd be watching MST3K at like 6 in the morning. And a lot of times me and Forrest here, we would not be together the night before, but we would roll in Sunday mornings having not gone home at all, wearing the same clothes.
We were in the day before.
We'd both be like, hey, man, what's up? You look like crap.
I look about like you feel.
Those were the good old days, I tell you what. So we've known each other a long time. This show's been on the air a long time. And, you know, it's over the years, it's been through lots of phases. It's gone, you know, like a cast of characters, different studios, you know, kind of like cut up commercials and, you know, like fake. Back when we had a lot more employees and a lot more manpower to create stuff. And it's always, though, kept the main function of trying to report on things that are strange, things that are out there, and also things that, you know. And so Josh, I call him Josh. Forrest calls him Mr. P. Warren.
Without the period.
Shelly just calls him Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, but I mean, he's, you know, Josh, you know, thank you for putting this on for as many years as you have, even though you're not on right now. And partially that's my fault for not being able to get the phone to work.
Which you really tried.
It really sounds kind of funny because, like, it's like I honestly can't get the phone. Here we go. Check this out. This is a pretty decent story right here. I'm trying to think of. I got to be careful how to word this because there's certain things that I can't say, as we've learned over the years.
Over the years.
But Pornhub, you familiar with it?
I think I've heard of it.
You heard of it?
Yeah.
I've been into the X vids lately, but Pornhub's always solid. It's always solid. And they've always looked out for their porn-loving fans. And over the past few years, they've made sex education sites. They have done sex exercise sites, you know, to, you know, get into shape. They've thinking right here. They've released a series of audio porn for the visually impaired, or the very lazy. Mm. You know, if you're just too lazy to watch porn, you can just listen to it, and it's like enhanced. It's not just like, oh, we just took the video out. But listen, it even has a college scholarship to help students go balls deep into higher education. Can I say that? I think
you
it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Now they have launched an all-new initiative aimed at helping out another group of their fans, the people who unfortunately might live in towns with names that sound dirty. Now, I don't know of any towns around here, but I think, you know, the most famous street of that would be like Short Cox Avenue. That's, you know, down, is that downtown?
It was downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Little Dick's Lane over behind.
There's Stoner Avenue.
Well, Stoner Avenue, that's kind of like, you know. I mean, there's also Steel Street.
True.
Anyway, so, you know, you got people, it's called Pornhub Premium Places. And they will give residents in towns like Fort Dick, California, Kumbum, India. You know, these are real places that you can look up on the map. These are the names of the towns, you know. And like, imagine you
Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Intercourse, Pennsylvania. That's a good example. These people can finally be proud of their addresses by supplying the. This is what Pornhub's doing for these people that live in these towns, giving them free access to Pornhub Premium.
Oh. Wow.
I know.
Good for them.
And like, Forrest, you're thinking about moving. I'm like, why don't you think about moving to Intercourse, Pennsylvania or something? Get that free premium access. You know what I'm saying? So it's no secret. I mean, they say this is coming from their site right here that people all over the world enjoy watching porn, you know, maybe to their detriment. Who knows? And are familiar with its vocabulary. So why all the fuss over places like Rectum or Dildo? These are real towns. In cities around the world. Well, to make up for years of mockery, they've decided to take and empower those names.
Good for them.
And empower them. And so you can go to hashtag premium places and give them the best thing they have to offer, which is free access to their amazing Pornhub premium content. So, I mean, this goes for places like the Canadian town of Climax to Blowhard, Australia. There are 10 cities in the U.S. that actually qualify, so you wouldn't have to go as far. That would be Fort Dick, California, Hooker, Oklahoma, Boners Lake, Wisconsin, Climax, Michigan, French Lick, Indiana, Big Bone, Kentucky. Oh, here we go. North Carolina representing with Horny Town. I'll have to look that up on maps. I don't know where that is. Cumming, Georgia, Big Beaver, Pennsylvania, Three Way, Virginia. If you live in any of those 10 U.S. cities that are not made up, you now qualify for access to Pornhub Premium. So, Maybe we could like get an initiative like say that
just go get your P.O. box there.
What about Strokely instead of Oakley?
There
you add a couple of letters there. You got Strokely. I don't know. I'm just saying these are things that this is news. This is what qualifies as news. And I'm sorry if that's odd, but you know. That's just what it is. It's speaking of strange. It's where the unusual becomes usual. We usually get into this content in the Dark 30 Hour. We're just going a little bit early tonight. It's the last show ever. And the honest truth is we just needed content. So we just jumped on it. Jumped right on it. French Lick, Indiana, home of Larry Bird.
That's correct.
That is correct. He was born in a small town, and he lives in a small town. I think, you know what? Last night I put together some audio. Do you remember when Joshua P. Warren read his groundbreaking poem, Christmas Puppy?
Yes, I do.
For Coast to Coast, right? I have a remix that I made last night of the Christmas Puppy. And I know it's not Christmas time, but I think now, when else is it going to air?
I know.
It's the final episode, people, of Speaking of Strange. Coming up after the break, you're going to hear Slayer with the Christmas Puppy. The remix by me. Sam the Animal Steel, joined in studio by Forrest Connor, Shelley Buttercup Wright. We'll be right back.
Darling, you complete me, but you make a lot of assumptions. And when you assume things, you make an ass out of you and me. Don't make an ass out of me. We belong together, and you know that I'm right. Why do you play with my heart? Why do you play with my mind? Said we'd be forever, said it never died. Can't sleep at night.
drank that 12er, we were so wasted we passed out. I got that gnarly sunburn.
Yeah!
It was so ghetto. Railer. But ever since then, I'm totally back. You're bitching. Fully blaze. Obby. We got a radical future in front of us. So stoked.
We got a radical future out of us, Shelly! I don't know where we're gonna go! I don't know where we're gonna go from here. From the heights of the mountains, known as Speaking Estrange, down to the valleys of the real world, where shall we go? The end of the road is where we've come to. People, that's where we're at. Things are changing, people! Things are changing. I'm Sam the Animal Steel. You're listening to Speaking Estrange, the final episode. It's like a very special episode of Saved by the Bell or something. except Screech isn't. Well, no, Forrest is the Screech. Yeah, Forrest.
I'll be the Screech.
You're the Screech of this operation. Shelly Wright, also in the studio. Yeah, we're just we're free-forming it. It's the last show. We had very little notice. And so we're dealing with things. And we're pulling up some old audio. Folks, I think this was a couple years ago. Joshua P. Warren, he of the namesake of the show, Speaking of Strange, he a thing for, I believe it was Coast to Coast, was it not?
Yes.
And it was Christmas time, and it was called The Christmas Puppy. It was an original piece of poetry that he wrote. And one day, just by accident, by sheer happenstance, I was editing that piece of audio, and I also had Slayer on. And I noticed, sort of like The Wizard of Oz and Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, that it kind of meshed up. Not all the way, but it kind of did. So I had this in my mind. I was like, well, this is the last show. I'm going to give it a shot. And so I edited, you know, I started to mess with the song a little bit to try to drag it out so it would hit in the right spots. And I figured this is the only time I'm ever going to have to play this. This is Joshua P. Warren's The Christmas Puppy and Slayer.
The Christmas Puppy by Joshua P. Warren. I grew up near Asheville, where the mountains
actually
the way.
That's the real Christmas Puppy. That's not my mix down. I know what how exciting was that? And then I pulled the wrong audio. Talk amongst yourselves. The Civil War, it was neither civil nor a war. Discuss.
So.
Yeah.
So what Sam has done here, he played the original and brought up the, and he just gave everyone a sample of what the original sounded like.
There we go.
And now he's bringing up the one, the mix down he did.
I think. Let's see. I think this is it. Here we go. Here we go.
The Christmas Puppy.
Yes.
By Joshua P. Warren.
Except it's in a weird mono.
I grew up near Asheville.
Yeah. So we're going to get to that after the break. You know, guys, this is just indicative. This is why we got pulled off the air, is my errors.
Now, Mercury is in retrograde. You know this.
You told me that, Shell.
Yes. All kinds of technical difficulties. You have had some amazing techie problems tonight, and you are not a newbie at this. So.
Well, that is true. And, I mean, with me and Forrest combined, I think we have a cumulative total of 78 years in the radio business.
At least.
And a combined bank account balance of at least $100.
Well, I was going to say $78.
I was going to say 78 cents.
Let's see if this did it. No, it's still mine. Why is this not working? I spent over an hour on this audio.
And we heard it earlier.
You did. You know, folks, I'm sorry. To get everybody all excited. And then, you know, whatever. Oh, here we go. This should do it. This should do it.
The Christmas
there it is.
By Joshua.
There it is. You like that, don't you? Here you go.
I grew up near Asheville, where the mountains part the way, between the flattest Piedmont and where the snowcaps lay. And what I'm about to tell you is the saddest thing I've seen. It's true, this tale of wonder upon one Christmas Eve. You see, it was tradition in our sleepy southern town to venture out and carol as the snow fell on the ground. See, we would drag a sleigh behind, complete with bells and toys, and dish out smiles and warmth and joy to little girls and boys. For 50 years, our family had made our joyous trips. But in the winter, 93, we brought one special gift. My mother brought a puppy, a little one named Scruff. His mother died of oldness, and he was her last pup. A mutt, he loved the snow more than any dog I'd seen. He'd prance around and lick it up, a snow dog's winter dream. But on that frosty afternoon, as we trudged on our way, we happened on a tragic sight, a halt to all the play. Lying by the pathway was a gray and lifeless lump. It was another puppy,
a dead and solid clump.
My mother squatted down as tears welled in her eyes and pulled the frigid body from the ice glued at the sides. Scruff ran up and sniffed it. His spirit full of glum, he had a grimace on his face. He knew the end had come. My mother put the little dog back down upon the snow, and Scruff stepped over to the pup, his head hung sad and low. The air was cold and quiet as Scruff stood by the pup.
Don't cry, Forrest.
His paws close by it. He lowered, then looked
up.
We watched our little dog crawl up and rest upon the corpse and sigh as if his own breath labored with remorse.
That is the Christmas puppy
we had ever
seen. Yeah, and Slayer. It kind of goes together pretty well, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Big clump. And it does, it redeems itself. It comes back and it's like Scruff isn't dead or something.
Right.
Or they've made it into an omelet. I don't exactly remember.
It came back.
It came back.
Yeah.
You're listening to Speaking of Strange. I'm well over on the hour. We got a dip to commercial. Coming back with the final Dark 30 hour of all time ever, forever and ever. Amen. Hopefully we'll have some sickening stories like Scruff for you here on News Radio 570 WWNC.